Just bow with me. Lord, we just pray today. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your book, the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine the following. Imagine the following. Two men come to church, come to Faith Bible Fellowship on a Sunday morning. They both of them arrive on time. They come into the sanctuary, and both are dressed in a nice suit and a tie. Both are clean shaven and well groomed. They both sing the songs. Both bow their heads when the prayers are being offered. Both of these men, when the offering plate is passed, they each take on an envelope and put it in the plate. Both of these men keep their eyes wide open during the entire sermon. I know this is a stretch, but just imagine. At the end of the message and at the end of the church service after the benediction, both men say, "Amen!" And they walk out the door. Both of the men walk up to me and say, "Great message, Pastor. Oh, enjoyed being in God's house today." And both men walk out in the parking lot. And God is looking down. And God looks at man A and says, "I am pleased. Ah, you blessed my heart today. Well done. I accept your worship." The other man, man B, God looks down and says, "I don't accept your worship. You might as well have stayed home in bed today because I am not pleased." You say, "Wait a second. They both did the same stuff. And yet God accepts one man's worship, and the other man, he doesn't accept his worship. What's going on? What's the diff?" I just told you a modern day version of what we have in Genesis 4. So I want you to open your Bible to Genesis chapter 4. And this morning, we want to consider the subject of true worship. Worship that is acceptable to God, pleasing to God. I mean, if we're going to do this thing, if we're going to get up on Sunday morning and come to church, we want to do it right. It's A.W. Tozer that I believe he said these words, the missing jewel in the evangelical church is worship. I think it can be argued that the greatest need in the evangelical church is that for true worship. True worship. Now, somebody might object, say, "Wait a second, Pastor. I think the greatest need in the evangelical church is for evangelism." And certainly, I'll tell you what, we need to evangelize. We need to be out telling people about Christ. We need that. That's why on Sunday nights, we're having our series on how to be a better witness. Somebody else might say, "Pastor, I think the greatest need in the evangelical church is discipleship. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Teach them all that I've commanded you." And certainly that's important to disciple people. We need to be teaching people the things of God. But if we truly learn how to worship God, Out of that true worship will flow evangelism. And out of that heartfelt worship for God will flow discipleship. Because worship is the fire which ignites ministry. True worship ignites ministry. It fuels ministry. And if we are worshiping God the way we're supposed to be worshiping God, I'll tell you what, you'll be out telling people about Jesus. And you'll be out discipling people for Christ. And you know, when we get to heaven, there's no evangelism. Why? Because everybody's saved. Nobody needs evangelized. When we get to heaven, no discipleship. Why? Because we will know fully as we are fully known. We'll not need to have be discipled in heaven. But I'll tell you what, throughout all eternity, read the book of Revelation, on all eternity, we're going to be worshiping God. And God, the Bible says, is seeking people. He's still seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So look with me at chapter 4. I want to read verses 1 through 10. And let's consider today true worship. What's true worship? Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. With man A, God said, I'm pleased. Man B, you might as well stayed home in bed, is what he said. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel, his brother. And it came about that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now, we want to take a look at true worship. And I just want to share thoughts around three different points here. First of all, the approach of true worship. The approach of true worship. Again, with one God was pleased. Two men come to worship. With one God is pleased. The other, he's not. From Genesis 4, we can deduce a couple of things. We first of all can deduce that God had told these two men when to worship. When to worship. If you look at verse 3, it says, so it came about in the course of time, or literally at the end of days. God had told them, there's a certain time I want you to come and I want you to worship me. I don't know, maybe it was on the Sabbath day. Maybe. But he told them when to come to worship. It was at the end of days they came to worship God. He also told them where to worship. Because it says there, again in verse 3, that they came and they brought an offering to the Lord. He said, I want you to come and I want you to bring to me an offering. And they knew where that was. Now, we don't know where that was. Some commentators, if you read them, think that it might have been at the entrance to the Garden of Eden. You remember that God had driven man out of the garden, and he had set up those cherubim with the flaming sword to keep them from the tree of life. And some commentators think that that's where God planned to meet with them And that makes sense. We don't know, but what we do know is that God told them when to worship and where to worship. And they both came. And God had regard, or as the King James says, respect for Abel's offering. But he had no regard, no respect for Cain's offering. Now the big question is, why? Why? Keep your hand here. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, it's a New Testament. If you go to the end and turn left, about five or six books, you'll find Hebrews. But Hebrews chapter 11, very interesting verse. Verse 4 of Hebrews 11. We read there, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Now that's an interesting verse. And this tells us really the answer to why God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. What this story tells us is not only in Genesis 4, it tells us when they were to worship. He told them when. He told them where to worship. But in Hebrews 11, 4, we learn that God taught them or told them how to worship. Now, where do you see that, Pastor? It says, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Now, faith. What is faith? Or how do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So from that, knowing that, and knowing that Abel came by faith, we know that God must have told them how to come to him. How to come to him. Well, let me back up just a little bit. You remember from our studies already how that God, after man sinned, God gave man a promise. In Genesis 3:15, you remember he said, the seed of the woman is going to come and bruise the head of the serpent. And that was the first gospel in Genesis. God told them that. But look, if you have your Bibles open to Genesis again, in chapter 3, verse 21, not only did God give them that promise, but God provided for them a covering. You remember Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they were ashamed and they tried to cover up. They made coverings of fig leaves. But God said, no, that's not enough. You need my covering. And God took and made coverings of what? Skins. To provide a covering for man's shame and man's guilt. And I believe, and again, we're not told this specifically in Scripture, but we know someplace God told them, and I believe it was at that time. By the way, I think the animals, I said this last week, I think the animals that God sacrificed to make those coverings were lambs. Because every sacrifice in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God who would come and take away the sins of the world. But God provided these skins, and I believe it was at that time that he said, there's only one way to approach me. There's only one way for a sinful man to come before a holy God in worship and in fellowship. And that is through a blood sacrifice. A sacrifice of an innocent victim. Blood must be shed. And he told them that. And I think we can infer from that, either God told that also to Cain and Abel, Or maybe Adam and Eve passed it on to their sons and said, there's only one way to come before God, and that is with a blood sacrifice. This was all to point to the ultimate sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He told them that they must come humbly, acknowledging their sins and their need for forgiveness. They must come through the blood sacrifice. This word was passed on somehow to Cain and Abel. And Abel, folks, took God at his word and obeyed God. And he came to God on God's terms. Cain, on the other hand, tried to come to God on his terms, in his own way. Now I want you to note something about this. This is very interesting, because Cain was not an atheist, and Cain was not an agnostic, and Cain was not even apathetic. Cain was a believer. He believed in God. He believed in God. He wasn't an unbeliever. He believed in God. He was very religious. He had a form of godliness. But he didn't come in faith. He didn't take God at his word. He came with a bloodless offering. He said, you know what? I'll worship God on my terms. But Abel came in faith. He believed what God said. He did what God said. He approached God on his terms with a blood sacrifice. Now, this holds great significance, folks. Great significance. True worship begins with faith. It begins with believing God that we are sinners and worthy of death. We need forgiveness, and that we must accept his revealed plan for deliverance. There's no way to approach God but through the sacrifice of the cross. No way. When Abel did what God said, he revealed his obedience and acknowledged his sinfulness. Cain, however, was disobedient and did not acknowledge his sin. Thus, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain because he offered what God required. Abel came to God in worship, in faith. True worship starts with faith. Cain, listen, became the founder of the world's first false religion. A religion that is at the heart of all false religions. False religion is trying to come to God in other ways than the way that God has prescribed. False religion says, I can get to God through meditation. I can get to God through thinking myself into a God state. That's Eastern religion. I can get to God, I can satisfy God by being a good person, helping other people, doing good works. This makes me right with God. That's at the heart of every other religion that is not the Christian religion. It's man's way of trying to work their way to God or trying to get in right relationship with God. I'm not doing it your way, God. I'm going to come my way. I'm going to come the Buddhist through the Eightfold Path. I'm going to come through the Six Steps of Islam. I'm going to come through prayer and meditation and any other way. There's only one way to come to God, and that's through the sacrifice of the cross. It's unique. Jude 11 talks about the way of Cain. The way of Cain, which is the way of religion without blood. Religion based on works and self-righteousness. And there are only two basic types of religion in the world. That of Abel, that depends on the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that of the way of Cain, which depends on good works, man-pleasing religions, ceremonies, programs. One leads to heaven, and the other one leads to hell. Somebody says, that's so narrow. Truth is narrow. The question is, do you believe there's truth? And if there is truth, then there's also error. You know, when I was in third grade or first grade, I had a real narrow teacher. She said 2 + 2 = 4. And when I put down 5, she put a red mark beside it. What a narrow person. But I'll tell you what, truth is truth. And there is only one way to approach God, and that is through the blood of the cross of Christ. He says, it says in Ephesians 3:13, but now you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Know what this means? It means a non-Christian cannot worship God. They can go to church. They can be religious as all get out, but they can't truly worship God. Now the question, have you come God's way? Have you acknowledged your sin and repented and placed your faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for the total payment of your sin? Have you approached God through the blood of Christ? I'll tell you what, that is an eternal question. The answer to that question is going to make a difference of where we end up for eternity. In heaven or apart from God in hell? The approach of true worship is the blood sacrifice. There's only one way to God in true worship, and that's through the cross. Now, that's the approach of true worship. Now look with me, secondly, at the demands of true worship. The demands of true worship. True worship, we're back in Genesis 4, true worship demands we bring an offering. We bring an offering. True worship involves giving to God. Note, both of these men brought an offering. They both brought an offering. Commenting on this, W.H. Griffith Thomas said this, their worship took the form of offerings. And this must always be the case. Worship is giving, not getting. Ascribing, not appropriating. True faith worship always involves giving to God. Giving him adulation, admiration, affection, appreciation, attention, adoration. It's giving to God. God in Psalm 96:7 through 9 says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all your earth. It says, come and worship. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. Faith responds and obeys God. We come to give to God. You know what a difference this can make when you come to church. What a difference. What a difference it makes. If a person comes... Now, I have to admit, every one of us come to get something. I mean, I want to get closer to God, and I want the blessings of God. But you know what? If that's my primary goal, God, I'm coming to church for you to bless me. I'm coming to church to get something. You know what? A person that comes like that, I'll guarantee you, they go out empty. I didn't get much out of that sermon today. Boy, that singing stunk. Boy, they didn't sing the things I like. Boy, you know, it stunk today. You come to get, you go out empty. But when you come to give, you come to give God praise. And we're not talking just about finances. That's a neat way to give to God. I thank God to be able to give in the offering. Who am I to be able to give back to you what you've given to me, David said. It's a privilege. Kind of a privilege. But you know, that's not the only way we give. We give to God in all kinds of ways. I'll tell you what, when the offering plate is passed, jump in. That's what God wants. He wants this. He wants my heart. Jump in. Like Paul said to the Macedonians, he said, you didn't give the way I thought you'd give. In fact, you started out, you gave yourself. And then you gave offerings to the Lord. He wants your heart. He wants you to come in and say, here, God, it's my heart. I love you. I'll tell you what, true worship involves giving. Bringing something to give God. You know, coming to church prepared with a verse of scripture to give to God, to bless God with. A praise. That's true worship. And secondly, true worship demands that we bring our best to God. Our best. Here we see in our account in chapter 4 that not only was the nature of Cain's sacrifice was wrong, it was also rejected because of its quality. It was an inferior offering. And I deduce this in comparing verses 3 and 4. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering. Just brought an offering. But down in 4, Abel on his part brought of the firstlings of the flock and their what? Fat portions. He brought his best to God. I'll tell you what, when we come here, shame on us if we don't sing our best. I don't have a good voice, but I'll tell you what, I'll give my best, Lord, and I can make a joyful noise. Praise God. Give our best to the Lord. You see, Abel came and said, let me find the best sheep here, best sacrifice. That's the best one. I'll give that to God. Cain said, I'll bring an offering. Tell you, God deserves our best. Do you remember the jokers, what they were doing in the days of Malachi? You remember Malachi chapter 1? It says they were all coming to church. And they were going through the motions. They were doing the whole church thing. But their sacrifices were lame, halt, blind, diseased. God looked down and said, you're giving me these? Would you give that to your governor? And yet you're giving these to me, God? And when you're going through the worship service, you're saying, oh, how boring. When do we get to go home? And you know what God said? Oh, that someone would bar the doors. Someone would padlock the church. I don't want that kind of worship. I'm the king of the universe. And my name will be greatly praised throughout the nations. So when we come to worship, give him our best. Even if it's a little bit, whatever I have, Lord, take my life. Let it praise you. We give him our best. He is great and greatly to be praised. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
True worship demands that we bring to the Lord, that we come not to primarily to get, but to give. I'll tell you, when you do that, folks, you're going to walk out here and you will be filled up. It's kind of a paradox, isn't it? It's like you pour out and God's pouring in and he's got a bigger pitcher, you know, and it just keeps on overflowing. And we give him our best. You know, and at best, I might make mistakes, and you might be off key, and you know, but you know what? Who cares? It might not sound good to you, but I'll tell you what, if I'm giving my best, it sounds good to God. Amen? Yes. Amen. And then thirdly, the approach to true worship is through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus. The demands of true worship are that we come and give to God and we give Him our best, the results of true worship. And here, there are really four that I see. First of all, he pleased God. Abel pleased God. And when we truly worship God, God is, can you imagine that the God of the universe can look down here on my life or on your life here this morning and say, I'm pleased. We can please God. God had regard for Abel and his offering. And his offering. He had no regard for Cain and his offering. God looked down with pleasure on the offering of Abel and accepted it. Abel pleased God with his worship and with his life. You know, when I walk out today, out in the parking lot, is God going to smile down and say, you know, Les, I'm pleased. I'm pleased with what went on in my church today. Your heart was right with me. Boy, I hope so. Was he going to look down on your life and say, man, way to go. I'm pleased. True worship pleases God. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. But when we come in faith, worship him, he's pleased. Secondly, he gained a testimony. Remember back in Hebrews, I don't know if you want to turn there or not, but Hebrews 11:4, it says, through his worship, by faith he offered up a better sacrifice, and he gained a testimony that he was righteous. Who testified that? God. God looked down and he said, you know, you're righteous. You're righteous. God testifying about his gifts said, this Abel is righteous. Not only did God the Father look down, but you know what? Jesus gave a testimony to Abel too. Do you know that? Let me give you a verse, Matthew 23:35. Jesus is speaking, and he said this. He said, therefore, behold, I'm sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you are going to kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from the city to city, that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous bloodshed shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah. Jesus testified and he said, you know what? That guy Abel, he was righteous. He was righteous. By faith, in worship, Abel gained a testimony. Jesus and God testified, Abel is righteous. And he gained a testimony among men, because in 1 John chapter 3, the apostle states that Cain killed his brother because Cain's deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. The results of faith worship, true worship, we gain a testimony before God and before men. True worship is a sign that somebody is saved. You see, God looked down and Abel says he's righteous. He's saved because he's come through the blood. And true worship is a sign of somebody's salvation. Listen, not everybody that comes to church is saved. I'm not saying that. But if you are saved, you will seek God in true worship. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's a sign. But also, I want to just commend you today. Can I commend you? Because every Sunday, you get up and walk out your door and get in your car and drive away, your neighbors, they're watching. They watch you. And you know what they say? Look at that nut. They're going to church. You say, I might be a nut, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. Amen. But you know what? They know inside. You see, through true worship, he gained a testimony. And when you come in true worship, you're a testimony to all those around you that God is important. And worshiping God is what we were made for. He's important to me. You're a testimony here today. You gained a testimony to come to worship God. Well, he pleased God. He gained a testimony. And you know, this is strange. I think you ought to turn to Hebrews 11 because you got to see this. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Because if I didn't read this, I probably wouldn't ever think of this. But he pleased God. Hebrews 11, 4, he obtained a testimony that he was righteous. And he's still speaking. Wait a second. I thought they said dead men don't tell tales.